Thank you for directing your internet connection to this sermon audio page for Christ Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Learn more about Christ OPC by visiting our webpage at www.christopcatl.org. Currently, Christ OPC is meeting on campus each Sunday at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for worship using social distancing protocols and assigned seating. Sunday school is offered to children and adults at 9:30 a.m., concluding at 10:30 a.m. for a brief time of fellowship before the 11 o'clock worship. A volunteer staffed nursery is available for Sunday school and the 11 a.m. worship. Nursery volunteers and children receive temperature checks prior to admittance. Please contact the church through its website for additional information and directions.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, that is Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful things that are written in your word, and we thank you for the recording of your son's words to us, and the earthy stories that give a heavenly reality. And we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will open our eyes and ears and hearts and minds to what you are teaching us today. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, children, I'm sure you've asked your parents this many times. Do you know where my favorite toy is? Do you know where my favorite piece of clothing is? And as a parent myself, I will say, with your parents, it's always in the last place you left it. Go look for it. And if it isn't there, search for it. This is a constant refrain in my house. My son will always come up to me and say, "Where's my action figures?" Probably in the last place you left them. "Where's my favorite piece of clothing?" We got to go look for it. And even this morning on my way out the door, it doesn't change, children. It happens even when you get older. I'm sorry, I'm warning you right now. This morning, this was the question and answer with my wife and me. "Where is my wallet?" "Probably in the last place you left it." "It's not there." "Well, you better look for it." "I would, but I don't know where my glasses are." It turns out that they were camouflaged. They were hiding right beside the computer, which is also the same color as my glasses and my wallet. I need to do some better color coding in the future. But all through my life, I have lost a lot of things, and thankfully, the Lord has helped me find them. About 10 years ago at this time, which is when this sermon that I'm giving you today was previously preached, I was the son of a farmer, and I was living on a farm in Ontario, and I definitely could resonate with the shepherd looking for the lost sheep, because I lost an entire herd of cattle. There was a thunderstorm. It shorted out the electric fence, and the calves, this is the first time the calves were out on the field, and calves, and the first time, you know, outside the barn, just were born in the winter, never seen a green field in their life, never experienced an electric fence in their life, never experienced a thunderstorm in their life, got spooked, and they made a run for it. They went right clear through the electric fence, and when I got home from work that day, I went into the field, and there were no cattle. Thankfully, my brothers, their wives, and my black lab, Abby, found the herd of cattle, in my next door neighbor's backyard. And they were spooked, they were hungry, and they just wanted to go home. And so we took apart the fence, and they ran back to the very field that they were grazing in, and we fixed up the electric fence, turned it back on, and they were safe and sound. And a great joy and relief came over us that the cattle were in the fence an hour before my parents came home. Another occasion also took place 10 years ago, and that was on my honeymoon. My wife and I were on our way down to Florida. We had just gotten married in Virginia, and we were on our way down to Clearwater, Florida, to stay at my parents' condo down there. And during that journey, we amassed a ton load of gifts, and gifts in the form of checks and money. And one check, one of her uncle's checks, went missing. Well, we turned the condo where we were staying at inside out and opened our bags and picked through everything. And then we were like, well, it's going to have to wait. And so we were going to go spend the weekend with my cousin down in St. Cloud. And as we were on our way out the door, I saw this piece of paper on the ground. And I picked it up, put it in my pocket, and took it with me down to St. Cloud. We went to church with them the next morning. You know, after church was let out, we were changing our clothes because we were going to go horseback riding. And I pulled out the piece of paper, opened it up, and there was the check. Well, we were rejoicing exceedingly with great joy for that time, too. And we thought, hey, object lesson. So we told the story of the parable of the lost coin to my cousin's children. And I have to admit that we misinterpreted the story, because I made the story out to be about us searching and looking for things and trying hard and trusting God. But the first and last sentences killed that interpretation. So the question should be asked, what is the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin really about? Well, I'm going to give you 3 points, and I'd like to draw from the parables. 1, our sinful nature. 2, God's love for us. 3, our repentance from sin. Actually, 4, for good measure, the right way and the wrong way to lead someone to repentance. The first is our sinful nature. And in this day and age, it's very unpopular to talk about our sinful nature. Many pastors will avoid it. Not here. You will not avoid it here. Or some pastors will just say, well, we are basically good, but we need to try a little harder in order to become great before the Lord. You'll never hear that here either. Jesus never downplayed sin in the lives of those around him. He acknowledged sin for what it really is. Even when he is confronted by the Pharisees for eating and drinking with sinners, he doesn't disagree with them on the fact that who he is eating with and drinking with are sinners. He reveals what sinfulness really is. To be sinful is to be lost. It's to be like a sheep that has wandered away from the flock. And we, like sheep, have wandered away from the flock. We've wandered away from the safety and security of God's loving care. And we've sought our own way. And when Jesus told this parable of the lost sheep, he could have been alluding to Isaiah 53, verse 6. In which the prophet proclaims, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. If a sheep wanders away, it's prone to and vulnerable to the elements. It's prone to have an accident. And it's prey for a predator. We are the same way when we are in sin. We're exposed to the elements in that we no longer have God's protection. We're prone to sinning further and facing the consequences. And worse still, we are a prey for two predators. Sin, Satan, and death. 3 predators. Sin, Satan, and death. Romans 1 gives us a clear picture of what we are like when we walk away from God and lead a life of sin. We become immoral. We become idolatrous. And we become unjust in our behavior towards God and towards our neighbor. And we're also like that lost coin. We were a great treasure. We are a great treasure in the eyes of our owner. But we rolled away and ended up hidden under the furniture, covered in dust, caught in the couch cushions. Some years ago, I saw a really interesting billboard in an airport, and it was from an international bank firm, and it said on it, "Millions of dollars worth of loose change can be found in American couches." Millions! And all those millions of coins, they've lost their glint, haven't they? There they all are with the dust bunnies and the pretzel. They've lost their glint. They're not in the light. We might end up lost forever. And some, like the Pharisees, would just love to write us off. But nobody ever writes off a lost sheep or a lost coin. And if nobody writes off a lost sheep or a lost coin, well, God does not write us off either. And this leads me to my second point. God's love for his people. Jesus tells us in the form of a question that he does not write off those who are lost in sin. Like a good shepherd who has 100 sheep minus one, he leaves the 99 remaining and searches for the lost sheep. In Jesus' day, a shepherd's job was not an easy job. They worked 24 hours, 7 days a week, watching the flocks of others. They knew those sheep by name, and they knew the number of them under their care. The sheep knew the shepherd by his calls and whistles. But sheep are not that bright. And they are prone to wandering off, and they're prone to wandering into danger. So the shepherd would risk life and limb for the life of that lost sheep. Even if a sheep was in the mouth of a lion or the claws of a wolf, the shepherd still had to show proof that he did everything in his power to save the life of the sheep by coming back to his master with the remains of that sheep. Well, thankfully, in today's parable, the shepherd came home with the lost sheep, and he threw a party with his concerned friends and neighbors. And so it is with God and his love for us, his people. Jesus is not only his son, he is our shepherd. And he knows each one of us by name. And when he saw that we were lost in sin, he went out and sought us. He even laid down his life for us, the sheep, by dying on the cross for our sins. He went straight into the mouth of the predators, sin, Satan, and death, and pulled us to freedom and safety, even if it meant costing him his life. But by his resurrection from the dead, he destroyed their power. He took out all their teeth and returned to God's presence with us on his shoulders. God's love for us is like the woman who spent an entire evening looking for that one silver coin. According to commentaries, that coin was a day's wage. Her floor was probably made of dirt and reeds, or the coin was part of her wedding dowry, or it was set aside with 9 other coins to pay the rent that was due that night. Well, she lights a lamp and she sweeps the floor until a glint catches her eye. There is the lost coin, and she rejoices with her neighbors upon finding that lost coin. And that's what God's love for us is like. Jesus, his son, never gives up looking for us. With the light of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, he searches us out until he finds us. And this leads to my third point, our repentance. Jesus concludes in each story, in each parable, that all of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents of his or her sin. Well, what is repentance? Repentance is when we hear the good shepherd's voice calling for us, the lost sheep, and we turn away from the dangerous path, or we call out for help from the crevasse in which we have fallen, and we are delivered from sin, Satan, and death. And then we follow our Lord, the Good Shepherd, home, or He carries us. As we walk with Him, we can't help but notice that His body is bruised, His hands and feet are bloodied, and His face scratched and pierced. He could have simply given up on us and went home for His evening supper. But He went. He spent the entire night looking for us. Repentance is when the light of the Holy Spirit shines upon us lost coins and we glint before our owner. Our Lord, like the woman, picks us up, dusts off the dirt of sin, and puts us back with the other coins, thus making us valuable and useful to do glorious things for God. And when we look upon our owner, we see the dark circles around her eyes, the calloused hands, the dirt upon her clothes, and the smile of joy. That is what Jesus did for us. He gave His entire body, soul, and mind to finding us, like the woman did for us. And this leads us to our final point. Mission. The reason why Jesus told us this parable was because the Pharisees were putting His mission into disrepute. His mission was in contradiction and competition with their mission to Palestine. Their mission was about seizing power in Palestine politically, morally, spiritually, and hopefully, if they got it right, people into the Sanhedrin. If they did enough public displays of prayer and ritual cleansings, and if they sought to obey the traditions of the elders, they would see the overthrow of the heathen Romans and the corrupt Jewish puppet rulers and the return of King David's Israel by God. And one tactic they had in their mission to seek power was to exclude anyone who would trip it up for them. They went after the tax collectors and sinners. The tax collectors were in league with Rome and the puppet kings and the priests, so they had to be excluded. The sinners were tripping up their cause because they were constantly breaking the Ten Commandments and failing to repent and failing to do good works in order to win back the kingdom of God. You know, historically, there have been times when the church has acted more like the Pharisees and less like our Lord Jesus Christ. From the Middle Ages to the present day, we've seen moments in history where the church has sought power instead of seeking the lost. There were periods in that long era known as Christendom, where God made the church seek the lost, and the church flourished. And in the Reformation, He raised up Martin Luther and John Calvin to preach to the lost of Europe. And the people heard the voice of Jesus calling to them, and they repented. In the 18th century, He raised up George Whitefield and John Newton to preach to all of England and to all of America. John Newton even wrote a song about being lost, but now being found by the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. In the 19th century, He raised up Charles Haddon Spurgeon to preach to the lost. And He raised up missionaries to go forth into the world and make disciples of all nations. And then in the early 20th century, the church lost its way. And there were elements in the church that were on a power trip, that sought to gain power and make the kingdom of God on earth. Well, in so doing, they were trying to create the kingdom of God on earth without Jesus Christ. Well, you can't have a kingdom without a king now, can you? We need Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord and Savior, the King and Head of the church and the eternal kingdom. And when churches seek power like the Pharisees and their scribes, well, people are forgotten. And they get lost. We read that in Ezekiel chapter 34. Our churches get emptied out. Our children lose the knowledge of God and His love, and Christianity just disappears. But Jesus assures us, assures the church that it's never too late. He calls us from today's reading to seek the lost, to go forth and seek the lost, to remember His mission, be part of it. And so we are to light our candles and torches with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and to sweep the floors of the world for the lost coins of the Lord and the lost sheep. When we obey His call to find the lost sheep and the lost coins, we will find them. It's not easy to find something lost now, is it? But the Lord helps us find the lost. He knows where they are, and He will help us find them. During His ministry in the city of Corinth, the Apostle Paul came close to giving up on the city. His Jewish brothers and sisters rejected his message of the gospel, and the Gentile converts were slowly trickling into his rented lecture hall. And there was resistance, violent resistance to him. But Jesus came to him in a vision and said, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, because I have many people in this city." And so Paul continued to minister in Corinth for a year and a half. Before long, there were house churches on every street, and they would gather together in that same lecture hall to worship together. And so much growth came that growing pains resulted, and Paul was led by the Lord to write them letters to help them through their growth. We have them today in our Holy Bible, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Isn't it great when we have growing pains? What are we to do? Well, today, if you're feeling lost, well, that's probably the best thing that's ever happened to you, because you are about to be found by God, by the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, He's calling you by name. He knows your name. So I invite you to hear His voice, call out to Him, and be saved from the clutches of sin, Satan, and death. Believe in Him and His death and resurrection for you to be rescued. If you believe in Him now, whether you do know or you don't know, when He found you, well, be rejoice and be glad. You have been found. And today, if you are in sin, repent. As we prayed in the prayer of confession, we are all sinners and we all need to repent of our sins. And this repentance, it's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing exercise as we go through life in Christ, because we are growing and maturing in Christ. Well, my brothers and sisters, let's rejoice and be glad with the angels over our repentance, our salvation, and the repentance of others. And let us seek out the lost with the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And at the end of time, let us be pleasantly surprised at how many lost people were found by us being instruments in the hands of God. And now to God alone be glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for sending Your Son, the Good Shepherd, to save us from our sins and to bring us to safety. We pray that by the Spirit's power, You may apply Christ's blood and righteousness to our loved ones and to our friends and neighbors and co-workers. We pray this in His name. Amen.